Welcome to episode 431 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes prostitutes. Well, good to be here as always. Wow, another Monday. Man, I can't believe how quick this can't believe how fast this year is just marching on like nothing I've ever seen before. I mean, I know they say that happens when you get older, but son, does it feel like it's moving on to you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It absolutely is moving on faster and faster. Like, to me, it feels like the baby was just born. Every time I see her, she's like, she's 3 feet tall now.
Yeah, I know. She's a little sweetie. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Glennis, so sorry. It says, Billy, put some more knives on the store, please. Yeah, we're going to have to work on that. We've been honestly hustling like nobody's business to try to keep up with the comfrey orders and also the bone sauce. And Michelle, I'm going to have to probably lend a hand on that. But yeah, I'm trying to hurry up. Here's the tricky part. When I'm working on bone sauce, you can't rush it. You can't make it go faster. But here's also the other thing is that now it's starting to get dry. We're about 10 inches lower than what we're supposed to be this time of year. So it's starting to get dry and I'm trying to beat it before the fire danger gets too high, because everything has to be perfect when I make this stuff. So that's kind of where we're at. So yeah, we'll see if we can't get some of that stuff up here in a couple of days. I think the bone sauce is already sold out again. I'll try to get more up there. Look, y'all, I know everybody wants this stuff and I get a lot of people saying, hey, show me how to do it. Look, William is my son. Son, how many times have I showed you how to do it? And how often do you get it right?
Oh, hold on. I think you've only shown me like once how you do it. But really, the only thing you have me do was tend the fire or go get the pots. That's about it.
Well, all right. Next time you're out here, I'll have to go into greater detail. But there are certain things you have to do. So it's not like there are things, for example, all the butchery videos that we've done in the past. Look, you could probably follow along, but there are nuanced cuts that I can't teach you unless you're right there in front of me, because I got to be able to say, look for that. You know, it's not just look. Can you feel? Oh, shoot. Can you feel right here? Yeah. Sorry, man. Yeah. Hopefully. Well, the people audibly, the people listening audibly don't see that spit that just fell out of my mouth right now. Yeah, because the camera's all, and I'm talking down instead of, you know, doing whatever. Anyway, there are certain things that are nuanced things that can only be taught, through, you know, you being right there with me. So yeah, that's the problem. So yeah. And then everybody's like, not everybody, but there are some people saying, oh, you're a greedy SOB because you won't show everybody, you know, does anybody go to, you know, McDonald's asking them how they do their fries, or anybody go to KFC demanding how they do their secret recipe or whatever, which is probably all chemicals in it anyway. Nobody's ever asking that stuff, but everybody thinks that, you know, a guy who spent thousands of dollars trying to figure out how to do this in a replicable manner, and at the same time, you know, spending thousands of bucks wasting things that I can't use to get this figured out. Yeah, you're welcome to do that. There's folks out there got other videos, but I guarantee they're not making what I'm making, and I don't cut it with anything. So anyway, that's where we are right now. Sorry to spend so much time on that. This episode, as always, brought to you by the Sovereign Health Summit. That's going to be October 27th through the 31st. TPC will get you 5% off. If you can't be there in person, we got an online version of it. So folks, be there or be square. Nessus Hemp, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Been using that stuff every single day. So go check it out over there. I'm going to have her on actually on Wednesday. Going to try to do monthly interviews with her for a whole variety of reasons. All right. So I'm just going to jump right into the farm news. As I said a moment ago, it's very dry. So that's kind of, you know, making me move as quickly as I possibly can, trying to make bone sauce until I can't, because I don't see any rain in the forecast, which is extraordinarily rare this time of year. Son, you think it might have something to do with what they're dropping from the sky up there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're messing with us too. And the Weather Channel is actively lying to us. Like yesterday and the day before, we're supposed to get these massive storms. Today too, we're supposed to get these massive storms. All the Weather Channel, like the YouTube people, the Weather Channel itself, they were all forecasting these massive storms. And really nothing happened. We got less than a quarter of an inch between today, yesterday, and the day before. And the weather app was telling me it's actively pouring down, raining, and I'm outside and there isn't a single drop in the sky. And they did that all day yesterday, telling me it's pouring down, raining in Texas, in my part of Texas, and nothing is falling from the sky.
Well, you figured out years ago that they were lying about the temperatures out there, because you went out there, they would say it was, let's say, 20 degrees outside in the middle of winter, and then it turns out it's like 34. Mm-hmm. Not even close. I mean, I know we got different microclimates here. Oh, man, as a little side note, Bill Zegley says, salivating while talking about bone sauce. It's all good, Pimp Daddy. Now, I got to make sure I point this out. Hey, folks, this is not barbecue sauce. Do not eat this stuff. Do not put it on your food. It ain't going to kill you, but it's going to mess your day up in a very bad way. This is not to be consumed. The whole purpose is to be a deer and a rabbit repellent. So, yeah. Anyway, so some other things over here. Folks, just a friendly reminder. Remember, I talked about how I killed the worms I had over the winter because I didn't give them any water and I didn't protect them from the cold. You know, shame on me. So anyway, remember, if you got worms, they need a higher moisture content than your regular compost. So you got to stay on top of that, especially in drier weather. And then also your compost, do not let it dry out. Folks, check on it. I mean, I like to, with your compost, you need to keep it covered up anyway. It's only going to help your fungal area of that compost and really everything in there. If it dries out, that's not a good thing. So leaving things in a windrow isn't necessarily a wonderful thing unless you got it covered up. You got to maintain that moisture in your compost. Otherwise, it's going to go flat on you. So you don't want to do that. So anyway, just a friendly reminder, stay on top of that stuff. This time of year, where we are in the mountains of Western North Carolina, I keep it up. I look at it. I water it once a week, at least. And depending on how bad it might be, it could be more. So here's another little idea I got going. I'm going to probably do a video on it. I did a video yesterday, you know, planting potatoes down in the food forest in the rows. Folks, you're wasting space. If you're not doing that, man, you can absolutely get it done. You can absolutely grow tons and tons of food out there in your food forest. I'll be talking more about that. But here's one thing that it just occurred to me today. Son, I'm up here growing carrots. And they're off and running. At least, you know, they're just starting to poke out of the ground. And I was like, okay, look at the distance between these carrots. Why am I not growing microgreens in between that space? I'm thinking, okay, why not? I'm growing microgreens in other areas. While you're waiting on the carrots to come up, folks, I mean, you can absolutely positively overlay other things. Wait till y'all see what I'm doing with the potatoes out here. Because now I'm going to have a straight up example that everybody can see where the potatoes are growing out of an ocean of a cover crop. And most of that cover crop, it could be tillage radish. I got that in there. Daikon radish. I got that in there as well. I could be eating the greens on these guys. I could be eating the whole radish. I could eat the whole doggone thing and then just take out daily what I need to make a salad. Well, I could be doing the same thing with the microgreens. So if you're growing stuff down a particular row, ask yourself, can I use, just like we do in the food forest, why can't you do it in your garden, son?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you start getting into the territory of like square foot gardening being like that actual technique of square foot gardening where you follow that specific plan and stuff like that. But it's occupying, all square foot gardening is doing is mimicking the layers of a forest, the seven layers of a forest. And you're just growing stuff in different sections of that, of those layers. So that way they're not really competing with each other. And I would even argue that there's really no competition for water or nutrients. In fact, we find out that those things are shared once your fungi levels are squared away in your soil. The only competition is for sunlight. So as long as you're not making, like, your tomatoes like sunlight, so covering them up with something else and inhibiting that sunlight is only going to hurt your tomatoes. But things like your potatoes in the middle of summer, especially if you're in Texas, your potatoes in the middle of summer don't need that full sun. They need to be protected from and get like either dappled sun or partial sun or just a couple hours of sun here in Texas. So that's an example of like on a larger scale.
And that's exactly how you could be doing things in your food forest, also in your garden, in your gorilla garden, because I'm going to show everybody up close and personal ways in which you can hide what I'm going to call a tactical gorilla garden, where everybody and a great grandmother would be walking right by this. And I would say 99.9% of the people out there have no clue that everything they just walked by is absolutely edible. And I'm going to show you that here probably next week. I'll probably give you a video on that next week. So let's see here. Yeah, the bat mom. Yeah, three sisters, beans, corn, and squash. The other one is squash. Yeah, she said she can't remember the other one. The other one's
squash. There's actually a fourth sister as well.
Yep.
Sunflowers.
Yep. You can absolutely do that. And it's a wonderful way of doing it, especially if you're working in a small space, folks. Don't think, look, there was this family out in California on a third of an acre producing 6,000 pounds of food per year. So much. It was a dad and three of his kids doing this. I wish I could remember their names. But yeah, they were doing that on a third of an acre. So don't tell me you don't have options out there. You got national parks, man. Grow there. You got places in open alongside the interstate. Y'all, I've thought about taking a chicken tractor on steroids and disguising it as a transformer on the side of a road. And nobody would ever even know what was in there. I guarantee that most people driving by wouldn't care less. And the ones that, you know, might, you know, the ones that do find out, they're probably going to think it's the coolest thing ever. So, yeah, that's another thing I got to get done. Other things here, we got constant spraying going on around here. And I'm hoping, son, I'll be talking to Todd Pittner tomorrow. You know, he and Mike Adams do a podcast together called Decentralized. Decentralized, I can't remember the whole thing. But anyway, I was able to get him. There was somebody that knew him. And I'm going to talk to him about what he's using because apparently it works. So I'll be able to talk to him tomorrow and find out exactly, get a lot of details, hopefully, about how well it's working for him, because these things, well, at least the one I'm looking at, man, they cost money. So I want to make sure that this thing is doing exactly what it's supposed to. He's had nothing but really good reviews of it. So I want to, there's some questions I want to ask that he didn't yet answer. So, you know, maybe I'll get that right away.
If that thing works the way it's said to work, and it works to the scale that it's said to work in, like communities could go in and invest in these things, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And if it does what he's talking about, then over there at the food forest we put in alongside the river, son, that's exactly where I'm going to put one. That whole community over there, because, you know, one of the smaller versions, man, it covers up to 6 miles or so. And along that flatter part of the river, I mean, that whole community would be protected. But that's exactly what I'm going to find out tomorrow, and I'll let everybody know what I find out. And then finally, speaking of chemtrails, here's how you know. There was somebody that came out with a video a while back talking about how they are putting stuff in there that eliminates the UV. Folks, despite what they tell you out there, go check out the work of Dr. Jack Cruz. You're going to find out in short order that UV is a wonderful thing in the sunlight, and they're knocking it off. Here's how we know, son. Your mom went in. She had to go get some tests done. She had a blood test, and one of the things they were checking at were her vitamin D levels. Now, folks, we just spent 2 weeks down in El Salvador, and we're in the sun all day long around here, and according to her phone app, she should have been in the hundreds of her vitamin D. Now, some folks are going to say, well, that's way beyond the protect. You talk to Dr. Cruz, there is no upper level of vitamin D you should get, but a lot of people out there will say anywhere between 40 to 60 is where you want to be. Hers was 58. No way, no how, unless they're playing games with blocking the sun. So even if you're able to get out there using an app to try to gauge what it is you're supposed to have, chances are you're probably not getting enough. So you might want to take that into consideration. And then finally, before I kick it off to William, good night, man. Folks, if you haven't been taking us seriously about growing food, you might want to consider the latest that's just happened in the United States of Amnesia. We're talking about a blockade over there. What are we going to do? Attack ships coming in and out of there? Are you kidding me? Last time that was done, I think, was in Cuba during the Cuban Missile Crisis. A blockade. I mean, what? I'm starting to think it ain't Trump no more. I'm starting to think it's King Theoden. I'm starting to think this is King Lear. I'm starting to think this is what other crazy kings can I pick throughout history and fiction? I don't know, but I'm sitting here blown. I mean, my mind is blown. Like, okay, so what are you going to do? Attack all these vessels that are leaving there? How are you going to get that close enough to enforce it when you can't get within 1,000 miles of that place? You're going to interdict these guys on the way home or coming? I mean, this is insanity. And then, like, that wasn't bad enough. The tweet that he came out with last night where he's, son, you're already shaking your head.
Yeah. You weren't going to bring it up, I was going to. Well,
the first thing was what he did on Easter, which I don't celebrate. I mean, I got my reasons for that, folks. But like I said, read the two Babylons. You'll know where I'm coming from. I celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of my Savior every day. So I don't point out a particular day of the year. But anyway, on Easter, which is considered sacred to a whole lot of people out there, you know what he put out there. And then last night, this guy is so disconnected. He's all pimped out like he's Jesus. And he had the nerve to say today in a press conference that he thought that he was a doctor. Man, I didn't just step out of the cotton fields. Are you kidding me? Where's his stethoscope? Son, I better hand it off to you because I'm about to lose my mind up in here.
Yeah, but also, did you notice the head angel right above him in that photo? Yeah, have you seen the photo and looked at it?
Not in detail.
Okay, everybody who's seen that photo, go back and look at that photo. This is the first thing that stood out to me whenever I saw the past the obvious part of where, like, you know, Trump thinks he's Jesus, but the there's an image right above him, and it's an image what looks to be like Baphomet leading an army of angels right above him. If you look at the photo, it's like right above him, and it's kind of a shadowy figure, and it looks like an image of Baphomet leading an army of angels. It is crazy. And I saw some other like edits done on that particular photo that are way more accurate if anybody's interested. But also, I was informed today that they're keeping track of who sees that, of who watches. They were creating a list of people who watches that Iran AI video that came out with the song. Most people know what I'm talking about.
How many times I listened to that? That was mastery. I mean, Iran, say what you want, whether they're or not they're winning a kinetic war, but they are definitely winning the meme war.
Yeah, they won with that. But yeah, whoever did, they're apparently keeping a list of everybody who's like watching that, especially on repeat. And then also the people who are looking at these edits of that last photo that they just put out and everything. So just be aware. I'm not saying stop or be fearful of any of that stuff. I'm just saying be aware that, you know, they are keeping track of who is consuming that type of content. Same thing with Instagram. I'm getting pushed a lot of, I guess you could call it like, I don't want to use the inaccurately using the term anti-Semitic content on Instagram, where it's like, it's one thing to acknowledge who the bad guys are. It's completely different to group the entire people group within those bad guys and start calling them out that way. So it's almost like they're trying to push some certain aspect of content to me on social media and everything. It's kind of interesting. But as far as farm news today, y'all, thank you guys so much for everybody who bought Moringa seeds. I put out a video yesterday saying that Moringa was for sale, and I put out like a 100 in the quantity on Etsy. And then I woke up this morning and it was sold out, and I had people messaging me saying, hey, you're sold out. I had YouTube comments saying you're sold out. But yeah, the quantity is back in stock. I have plenty of Moringa seeds. I just didn't know. I was kind of testing it to see how, you know, how quickly it would sell out and everything. But if you miss out, quantities back in there. And then I spent the entire day today, for the most part, fulfilling orders and everything like that. Just trying to figure out the slow part on the fulfilling orders is trying to figure out a workflow for Etsy. That's what's taking forever. That's the slow part and everything. But most of you guys who ordered either on Patreon Friday or Sunday, your guys' orders should be out. Everybody who ordered today, you guys' orders will be going out tomorrow. But yeah, thank you guys. That's awesome. And then right before the podcast, I was able to go outside and get some harvested a little bit of cabbage, and then harvested some French radishes, and they look wonderful. Like, I don't have any I don't have any pests in the garden. Like, it's hard to believe, even though like we teach the information. It still shocks me every single time I go out to that garden and there's nothing. The only pest I have in my garden is myself, my daughter, who thinks everything is edible in the garden, no matter how old it is, and then an occasional chicken that gets out. But that's about it. I have no bug pests or anything like that. My soil is looking amazing. The older beds that I built last year, soil is perfect. I don't think it could get any better. And if I increase the fungi levels anymore, I'm going to start getting into the next succession of plants. And then the new beds that I built are on the way. You can definitely see, because I have some varieties of the same thing planted on the old beds and in the new beds. And you can see the difference between the two. Like the new beds aren't doing, they're still doing fantastic. They're just not doing as well as the older beds are. So I'm going to hit them with some more compost extract, hit them with some more soil saviors, which there should be a link for soil saviors in the description of this video or this audio that you're listening to. Yeah, that's what I got done today.
Man, that's what I'm talking about, son. Everybody better get hot. And plus, honestly, you just feel like $1 million when you're growing your own stuff out there. Even if you're, I hope you're not doing it, but I hope you're listening to what we're saying and using. Instead of Miracle-Gro, maybe you're making compost extract out there. But anyway, the stuff you grow with Miracle-Gro in your backyard is better than anything you could hope to buy. I mean, yeah. if it came to that, like I said, I don't at all recommend that. But it's going to be light years better. It's going to have way, I mean, I don't even know that you can comparison. There's any comparison, to be honest with you. So,
real quick. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. I had a comment. I was going to read
too. Go ahead. Poisoning. I think they're poisoning him. I think she means Trump. Well, it may be much worse than that because there was an interview recently done. I'm not a big fan of Alex Jones, but he had a guy on there that I am, a couple of guys on there that I am a fan of, one of being Ed Zoll. And they were talking about, folks, this is one, I think it was like last week. You really ought to check it out because there are ways in which they can absolutely control pretty much anybody on there if you're not aware of it. And I'm not going to try to get into it right now, but it's also some of the work that Dr. Cruz talks about, blue light toxicity, and a bunch of other things that they can put inside your body. A lot of it probably falling from the sky. Some of it, they can absolutely shoot you up with. I mean, it makes you wonder if the guy's getting topped off drunk every night. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I know that this is like 25th Amendment time at this point. This is getting absolutely crazy. Go ahead, son.
Well, on that note, I mean, there's a couple of different factors. There's what you're talking about. There's also like the two rituals he's gone through at inauguration both times. And then this last one, him going through the belly of, or the under the dome of the Capitol, which represents the belly. Yeah, of ISIS. This is like there's quite a few factors involved. And then also, who even knows what his own personal agenda is as well? I mean, you have this, this will probably get flagged if I start repeating some of his own tweets. But yeah, there's a lot of factors involved. Somebody was asking, Travis Banks 4138 was saying, I've been looking for heirloom corn seeds 80 day to harvest, had them before. I would check out Southern Seed Exchange. They're a good place to get seeds. And even if you don't live in the South, they still have really good high quality heirloom seeds and stuff like that. But I would check them out. And then they also organize it in a way where you know how many days to harvest whenever you're buying the seeds.
Yeah. Just back to the previous thing, even Tucker Carlson pointed out something. There's two things that always made the flags go up for me regarding Trump. Number one, no, he did not put his hand on the Bible. You know, he could have used any book for that matter. I mean, he could have used Moby Dick and nobody would have known the difference, but he purposely did not put his hand on the Bible. Number one. And number two, go back to that snake poem that he did. Everybody assumed that he was talking about Hillary Clinton. I might've been the only person out there saying, huh, he didn't say who it was. I wonder if he's talking about himself. If you wonder what I'm talking about, when you get a chance, check out Trump's snake poem. It'll probably pull up.
And another part real quick, ask him, or try to figure out why he was barefoot when he got shot in the ear.
Oh, yeah.
Try to find out why he was barefoot and what ritual or ceremony that follows. It's in Leviticus, I think.
Or in the ear shot, the whole nine yards. Yeah, folks, there's a lot more going on behind the scenes. In fact, with this whole so-called Artemis mission, fake is a $3 bill. Count up all the 33s in this thing. 33 or 332. 332, that's skull and bones. I know it seems like we're going off the deep end, folks, but I'm telling you, the world you think you live in is not what you live in, especially among these so-called ruling elite out there. So anyway, before everybody thinks we've totally lost it, let's go ahead and talk about what's coming up here. Mountain Readiness. William and I are going to be out there. We're going to show you how to process a sheep. Yeah, that's going to be May 1st through the 3rd. That's going to be in Harmony, North Carolina. Go check it out, Mountain Readiness. Micronic Silver, 10% off with promo code PERMA, y'all. Talk about something. I use that nose spray practically every single day. They're out here spraying, which means every single day. So go check them out. PERMA will get you 10% off. And then finally, Wave Watch. I was wearing that thing. We went out to eat with some friends yesterday, and I got that thing at, you know, it's a little unsightly in certain, at least I got the old version of it. It's a little unsightly in certain areas, so you can just put it in your pocket like I did and then still keep that thing going. Billy 100 will get you $100 off that. And then finally, for the people that ask, Soil Saviors, it's listed down below. Use the link. All right, so hey, we're going to talk about.
Hold on. On that Wave Watch, I mentioned this in a couple episodes back, but another added benefit that I just figured out was for allergies. I put it on sinus relief, something sinuses, and that helped me a lot with my allergies. I was actually just talking to EJ the other day, one of Dad's friends, about it, because he asked me about allergies and some of the stuff that I do to remediate it. And I told him, I was like, surprisingly, the Wave Watch helps with allergies.
Yeah, there you go. There's another thing I may have coming up in the near future. I'm testing it out right now. We're going to find out whether or not, well, William, is being sent to you right now to see if it helps with your allergies at all. Should be there pretty soon. We sent some to your grandma, and I want you to give it a test drive and see if it helps at all. Okay. Let me know when you get it, and I'll tell you what the dosage ought to be if you don't already know. All right. Okay. So, hey, Brent, thank you for the $5. Anybody else want to break bread? I won't fake dead. All right, so some good news here. Adequate daily fiber intake, non-negotiable cornerstone of digestive health. Now, everybody's going to say, yeah, I eat a salad every day, but yeah, think about some of that that insoluble fiber. Things, that's what Barbara O'Neill talks about all the time. Things like, you know, like bran or oatmeal or beans. I prefer the beans because, you know, the oatmeal, there ain't no telling what you're getting out there. Beans, I'm pretty sure I can get a pretty clean source on that, so be careful about that. That's one good news story. Don't forget that fiber. And then here's another one. Your gut's worst enemy, 5 foods that sabotage your inner ecosystem. In a nutshell, I'm just going to break it down for you. These are all from Mike Adams' website. Processed foods, that's number one. Processed meats. Folks, if you only knew all those nitrates and nitrites, remember, I'm a butcher also. You don't need any of them. If you wanted to make capicola, you wanted to make mortadella, prosciutto, any of that stuff, all you need is salt and a good environment. The only reason they use that junk out there is because it speeds up the process. Like I tell everybody out there, it takes, if you drop off a pig and they got it ready for you in a couple of days and they got bacon in there, one of two things happen. Either they use nitrates or nitrites, or B, they give you somebody else's pig. Because I can tell you right now, if you use only salt, it's going to take you about 11 to 13 days. So, and it doesn't even matter whether it's lamb bacon, beef bacon, it doesn't matter. It takes, if you're using nothing but salt, that's how long it takes. But they want to hurry up and give it back to you because they don't want you taking up locker space. So anyway, processed meats, alcohol. I imagine with what's going on in the world right now, I wonder how many, I haven't looked at any stats, but I wonder if a lot of more people are digging into the jug. Stay away from it, y'all, to go to the Lord. Artificial sweeteners, I mean, must I tell you how bad that one is? And then finally, the last one's going to be a little bit nuanced, and that's dairy. Well, first of all, ask yourself, I'm trying to be as careful as I can possibly be when it comes to the dairy, because you don't even know what they're using. I mean, there are folks around here, I know where I can get cheese. In fact, I'm meeting with one of them tomorrow, where I know they use good, proper stuff. Everybody else, if you're buying it out of the store, you got to be especially cautious about where you get it. And I will spend good money to get good cheese, but it's got to be the good stuff. All right. So finally here, we got the last one. Study. High uptake of unprocessed meat helps shield older adults from Alzheimer's. Okay, you can see all these tie together, okay? So when I say I'm unprocessed, I mean you go get a steak. You go eat a lamb chop. Eat some fish. It's unadulterated, okay? Nothing's been done to it. And the only time I would recommend you eat it is if you know that butcher very well. And I'm the only one I know out there that's using nothing but salt. Now, when I make my bacon, it's salt, maple syrup, and brown sugar. And anymore these days, I don't even put the brown sugar in there. The maple's usually good enough. Problem is with the way I do my bacon is that you can't fry it in a pan. You're going to have to put it on a, you're going to have to put it on parchment bake paper and bake it, which is cool anyway, because then, you know, it stays straight. And it's easier to deal with that way. But anyway, I don't need all that extra sugar. And honestly, I don't get good sources of brown sugar. So I'm just going to stick with salt and maple syrup, which I know I can get good, proper maple these days. All right. So with that, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, keep moving. The quickest way to wither away and die is to retire and sit on your butt. Concept of retirement is a scam. Toil away your life so you can hope to enjoy it when you're old? It only ever worked for a generation or two, and even some of them are having to come out of retirement to afford life. The idea of doing one job your whole life makes no sense anyway. In a permaculture life, we have 3 to 5 jobs happening simultaneously, 2 to 3 main ones and 2 to 3 part-time or seasonal ones. It's a diversity of revenue. I was engaged in some seasonal tree clearing work recently. The owner of the property is about to turn 89 years old, and he was working right alongside us for 2 days straight on a pretty steep slope, dragging logs, loading up rounds, just steady all day. It was impressive compared to most 89-year-olds who are in hospice care. He said he works every day to stay fit, and if he sat on his ass, he'd probably be dead the next day. It sure kept me moving because there was no way I was going to be outworked by an 89-year-old. We are supposed to move, not sit in front of screens all day. The last 10 years of most people's lives are a miserable existence propped up by pharmaceuticals. I don't know if I'll ever make it to 89, but I'll be moving for as long as I do. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. If you're in need of permaculture t-shirts, the official pimp gear of this PimpCast, a remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com. And for more information or to support my permaculture community group, head over to permaculturefairoaks.org.
That's my dog right there, man. Once again, son, check this out, how much what he's saying is lining up. I heard, well, first of all, it was just bizarre. This last week, I must have had, well, I know for sure 2 people let me know that they or their family member has cancer. And the crazy thing is I was talking to my buddy Norman, who back when I was still doing electric work, you know, old dude, lives down in Shreveport, Louisiana. Haven't talked to him in years. He reaches out after, you know, haven't heard from him in a long, long time. I was the only reason I answered the phone because it wasn't his number that I had locked in my phone. I answered it because I was expecting a call from somebody whose number I was sure not to recognize. Anyway, I answered the phone, talked to Norman for a little while. He tells me, man, I retired a couple of years ago. Me and my wife did everything there was to do. And then, you know, wound up with stomach cancer. And then I went back to work and I was like, whoa. And I said, hold on, Norman, I may have something that might be able to help you out, which is honestly what I'm trialing right now. And what I mentioned a moment ago, I was sending to William and also my mother-in-law. So this guy claims to have something that can make you cancer proof. Now I'm taking it for a test drive right now. Or if you have any other kind of ailments, I'm going to get him on the show. I'm going to work on getting him on the show. And I just want to make sure it's not, you know, snake oil before I tell everybody else. But I was like, man, what are the odds? 2 people all within days of one another, just out of the blue, tell me they or their family member have cancer. And one of them very, very bad. Well, I mean, any cancer is bad. But anyway, there might be some real solutions out there. Check out, I think it's Dr. William Mackis. Anybody who's dealing with any of the big C out there, check out him. I mean, he's having to leave Canada because of how many people he's curing using, I don't even know if I can say these words, but Ivor, fill in the blank, and Fenbenda, fill in the blank. I'm not even sure I could say them in here. And also chlorine, fill in the blank. So if anybody knows what I'm talking about, and then also, yeah, thanks, Bill. And
yeah, he's got us.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. B19, bitter apricot seeds. Yeah, that's also another one right there, folks. So if you know anybody going through this, the problem I come across, though, is that the worse people are, I can't even tell you how many people I've tried to turn on to some things that I knew would help them in a big way. And it's like the worse they are, the less reluctant. I mean, I don't get it. If somebody told me hey, man, there's something over here you might want to check out. I think I would be turning over everything humanly possible to find it out. But most people, they get this diagnosis and they just, I'm going to outsource everything to the experts. These same experts told you to put a jab in you, okay? I ain't trusting any of them. Very few of them anyway. MD does not mean medical deity. You dig? So, look, folks, there's a whole lot of people out there talking about serious ways in which you can cure yourself. Okay, with that said, I'm going to go to my, I got my next one here. EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Remember, I've been a journeyman electrician for almost 30 years now. I put in transient voltage surge suppressors all over this country. You want to check them out. It's the only one I endorse. So EMP Shield PERMA will get you $50 off. Son, you were going to say something?
Well, I just noticed that there's some banging around, so sorry if you guys hear that. It's the baby, I'm sure, playing a game right now. But Simply Barbara asks, I have fluoride and chlorine in my city water and I have a whole lot more. I collect rainwater from my garden, but when I run out, what should I do? I don't want to kill my microbes. Trying to get advice. So what I do, I live in an area where they have very, very toxic water. Like, we get boil bans multiple times a year, all the time, and that's not even counting that the stuff they're not telling us about in the water. But what I do is I add, so to water the garden, what I do is I add an RV filter between my the spigot and then the water hose. All the water we come in contact with for sure gets filtered before it ever touches us. This RV filter, it filters chlorine and filters fluoride and chloramine and things like that. It doesn't get it perfectly, but it knocks it down quite a bit. So where I'm still able to water compost with it and not have any issues with heating up or microbial levels or anything like that. And then also, it's not killing the microbes in my garden. So it's at a low enough level where the microbes in my garden can still handle it and destroy any of the, or lock up any of the stuff that's coming from the city water. So check out I just got mine on Amazon. It's just an RV filter that knocks out both of those to a certain extent. So if your microbes are on point, or if you're on the way of getting your microbes on point, then you should be pretty good with that filter and still have good results.
Another thing you could do also is what I had to do out there, because it's heavily chlorinated and fluoridated, which is going to tend to kill your microbes. So you want to make sure, if you can, store it in a IBC tote or something like it. Let it off gas for a couple of days, and then about 2 hours before you're about to use it, put some fulvic or humic acid in there. It's going to help wipe out what's left of it. So, you could put, maybe 2 or 3 tablespoons of fulvic acid, humic acid in there, but I would let it off gas for a couple of days. If you know you got some heavy fluoridation, a lot of that stuff will off gas, but whatever's left, you can sit here and get it out using those techniques. All right. With that said, I wanted to talk about something. You see a theme over a lot of what we've done as of late. It kind of leans toward preparedness, but it's also just good practice anyway. And I was thinking, like, you know, stacking functions like your life depends on it. And that's what I was getting to earlier when I was talking about, okay, so you got a bunch of carrots out there. Well, is there anything you could plant in between them? Yeah, there's some companion plants out there. Like William said, I got soil that is largely on point. It is getting better every single day. But I'm like, okay, to stack another function in there would be to grow microgreens down to the middle of it. The cool thing is, anyway, when the carrots are this young, I got to water them every day. Your microgreens, they need constant water, but you can't cover them up. If you're covering up carrots, you can't do that. But after the carrots come up, the microgreens are always going to have a small profile. You might be able to put a couple of rows of microgreens in there. And you talk about powerful. I mean, man, and plus they taste good. They add a real good crunch. I'm using the spicy mix that I'm going to wind up putting out there. I'll tell everybody what's in it once I get that video out there. But anyway, every element must earn its keep on your farm. I mean, if it only does one job, then for me, that's kind of useless. It's kind of a liability. In a real crunch, redundancy and overlap keep your systems alive. And those are the things we got to be thinking about in these times. So start with the end in mind. And that's a survival maxim, okay? Ask, does this just provide food, water, and fertility or protection? If not, then whatever you're thinking about needs to be secondary. At least that's how we roll around here. Son, go ahead.
Yeah, always think of it's also going to help you stop from like burnout as well. That's one thing. Like, once you have all your systems spread out all over the place, that's where you start getting burnt out. Things that need constant, and this kind of ties in, stacking functions kind of ties in perfectly with permaculture zones. You want things that need a lot of attention close by and preferably in the same system. So the first one I have is the obvious one, chickens and a garden. Stack those functions, put those right next to each other, because the chickens are going to directly benefit your garden and your garden is going to directly feed your chickens. So you could do something like the chicken tractor on steroids, but it doesn't have to be that labor intensive. It could be something as simple as like your chicken bedding that you're using in your coop, you use as mulch in your garden, and any garden waste that you don't eat, you feed to your chickens. I just did that with some of the radish tops and the which you could probably cook like greens and be just fine. But the radish tops and some of the outer cabbage leaves, I threw those both to the chickens, and they'll turn whatever they don't eat into compost for me, or just, you know, bedding. You can use the bedding that'll go back into the garden. Or if you don't have a system where you have chicken bedding, because it's just a fall through system, you could rotate. If you have an in-ground garden, you could rotate your chickens around or in between rows, or above, if you have any slope, do it right above your garden, so that way every time it rains, it's passively going to fertilize your everything down below with some nitrogen.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man. Good stuff there, son. Juby Joe, yeah, I'm a big fan of Michael Yon, too. I'd love to get him on this show one of these days. Actually, I've been trying to reach out to him on his Substack, and he won't get back to a brother. So, yeah, I imagine he's just super busy. Anyway, my next one is going to be, you know, water is your ultimate multiplier. Think about it before it even okay, I'm going to look at it in a couple of different ways. How many times on this channel and in the videos that I do have you heard me talk about, when energy hits your property, you have three solutions. You can capture it for a little while, you can amplify it, or you can deflect it. And in the best systems, you can do all three. Well, that's three different purposes you could have for that. We're just talking about water. You can do the same thing for sunlight and wind and a number of other things. But in terms of water alone, a pond shouldn't just be a water storage thing. It's irrigation. It's a microclimate in permaculture. It's aquaculture, which I hope you're doing. It's wildlife. I mean, your deer are going to have to go out there. You know, turkey, everything else is going to want to get a drink of water. And then, of course, it's going to be fire protection. I mean, right there, y'all, look how many things just under the banner of water, of having it in your landscape. And that's a short list. Also, if I'm using swales, what am I doing? I'm percolating that water through the landscape where, remember, I'm the number one reservoir to store water is going to be in your soil. And then when it hits an impermeable layer downhill, then what happens? It creates a seep or a stream down below. All those things matter. So we want to try to keep that water, but think about it. Don't just say, oh, I want my pond over here. Ask yourself, could I tap that pond Greg Judy style or Joel Salatin style, put it higher in the landscape and use its elevation to do everything I needed to do downstream? Can I do that? And all the other things I just named a moment ago. So yeah, water, obviously, that's got to be a big one right there.
So that leads me into my point, which is specifically swales. Swales by themselves is, like, if you just dig a swale, it's obviously going to be doing a couple of function stackings just with the nature of them existing. But there's a couple of ways where you can kind of improve that stacking of functions, where you can obviously plant trees on the mound side, but you can also use your swales as forms of access. To add to the swales, you can also use it to funnel water into your pond, but you can also use it as forms of access. Like on Jeff Lawton's farm, some of his swales are his access points to get to one point to another point on his farm, but also gives him a point of access. Like his swales are big enough to drive his tractor through, so he can go through and harvest the fruit once, like, let's say all of his peaches, for example, came in all at the same time. He can use his tractor to drive down that swale and harvest all the peaches and make that harvest super, super efficient, but also very easy and not having to make multiple trips. It saves on the energy aspect whenever you have a crop all come in at the same time. But swales, they're going to harvest water. They're going to direct the excess over to a pond, and any excess from the pond you can use as a spillway to force back in the landscape. You can move water that way. And you can also use it to grow trees, which everybody should be using swales to grow trees if you have swales. And you can also use it as a point of access from one point of your landscape to another point of your landscape. Swales are one of those big, big permaculture earthworks that naturally stacks functions whenever you create one.
Some for the new people out there, why don't you explain what a swale is?
Swale is basically a ditch that's perfectly level. It's on contour. So if you look at a topographical map, each one of those lines, even though it looks all like curvy and doesn't go in a straight line, each one of those lines is perfectly level. They're all on the same elevation. What you do is you dig a ditch on that. Everything is on the same elevation, and everything you excavate from the ditch, you put it on the immediate downhill side, creating a berm. So you get, like, if you look at a cutaway from the side, it's going to look kind of like an S. You have the ditch side and then you have the berm side. And depending on where you live, you're either going to plant trees on the berm side or in the ditch side. If you're in an arid environment and you get like 1 to 2 rain events per year, and that's all your rain, probably going to want to plant it in the ditch side. But if you're anywhere else, you're probably going to want to plant it on the berm side. And if you're in an area with a very, very high water table, the ditch helps your trees get access to like drier soil and things like that. But, yeah, swales are amazing. You have a bunch of videos on swales. I have a couple of videos on swales. We've taught swale digging classes in the past. It's kind of hard to understand it until you see it on video, and then you're going to get a better understanding of it whenever you see it in person.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. All right, so just like, remember, y'all, we're talking about stacking functions. Just don't lose sight of that. And what we're saying is less important than for what it makes you think. Because you ought to be saying, as we're talking about this stuff, close your eyes if you're not driving and use your mind's eye and write it down. Say, look, man, what can I do here where I am? So plants should do more than just feed you. I really believe that. So trees, obviously, if they're fruit trees, they're going to provide food. Even if they're not food for you, they may be fodder trees for, you know, some animals you have that out there. Obviously, shade. That's why one of my best design elements, the thing I love, is where I have rows and rows of trees where the animals go in and out. They get the shade. I can do some chop and drop. They get the fodder. You know, what else can I use it for? The mulch, nitrogen fixation, meaning that it's taking the atmospheric nitrogen, putting it down in the soil to the benefit of everything else around there. And in fact, we don't even know the full benefits of doing things like that. And then, you know, obviously there's a lot of, keep in mind that every nitrogen fixing tree harbors a bunch of insects that are going to destroy the other insects that want to attack your productive trees. So that's another benefit of nitrogen fixing trees, shrubs, vines, you name it. If it's nitrogen fixing, folks, you want to put that in your food forest at all times. I mean, you want that element definitely in everything that you design out there. So it's look at it, maybe your trees as a habitat, and not just fruit. And you definitely don't want it to be in isolation. So if you got a fruit tree out there, ask yourself, okay, there's 7 layers of a forest. Can I be growing an edible shrub in close proximity? How about an edible vine? I got Chinese yams growing up some of these trees, okay? So that's a gift that keeps on giving. There is the whole notion of just having something in isolation out there, y'all, that doesn't exist in nature. So why have it exist in your permaculture farm, in your garden, or anywhere around you? Folks, stack those functions.
Yeah. Real quick, Brenda, yeah, Dad isn't claiming that Greg Judy or Joel Salatin came up with like pond irrigation or anything like that, but they've made it popular. And specifically, something that they couldn't do in Africa thousands of years ago was use the head pressure from the elevated ponds, use that head pressure to actually power sprinklers instead of doing flood irrigation, which is a very, very inefficient way to water your garden or water crops and stuff like that. You can use a sprinkler, be way, way more efficient with the water, and more or less water will go further that way as well, or even drip irrigation.
Oh, I'm sorry to cut you off, but to that point, you know what society, this might blow everybody's minds. You know what country out there that has been doing this kind of irrigation for millennia? Son, you want to take a wild guess?
Iran. Yep.
Everybody else in the Middle East is heavily dependent on desalinization plant. They get, I think, 80% of their water, a lot of them from these ancient structures where they were either tapping in streams down below. I mean, it was absolutely ingenious. So if you wonder why Iran is doing so well, I mean, these people are not morons over there. The average IQ is much higher than it is than the average American IQ. Like it or hate it, y'all. But honestly, when William said that a moment ago, for thousands of years in Iran, That is how they've been handling their water, and it has been maintained this entire time. They're still using, in a lot of different rural areas, clay pipes that were around long before Rome was an empire. I mean, that is insane to me. But it also tells you that, you know what, the ancients, everybody seems to think that the ancient peoples out there, they were just stupid and Neanderthals or something like that. No, that's not the case at all. That's what Bill Mollison really discovered in permaculture, is that he was able to go out there and it was something of a renaissance. And if he hadn't done it, I mean, how much of this stuff would have been lost to us now? But yeah, Iran is the only culture that we know of on this planet that is actively using these same water capturing systems that are millennia old, 1,000, 2,000, maybe more.
Jordan is as well. But also, here's the real kicker. You know what country went in there and during the 1940s, 50s, and 60s and turned those same systems into sewage pipes? Yeah, it's the one that owns all of our government.
Yeah.
But before we derail too much, the next one I was going to talk about was syntropic design, which is similar to what Dad is talking about. It's exactly what Dad is talking about in planting the potatoes in the food forest. Syntropic design is basically the idea of, let's say you have a row of fruit trees, and whenever you first put in those fruit trees, they're pretty small, they're pretty little, they're not creating much shade, and there's a whole lot of space between the fruit trees. Syntropic design is growing your annuals in between your perennials until your perennials outshade your annuals. So for the 4 or 5, I mean, depending on the tree, 6, 8 years it takes for your trees to provide like a solid canopy, you can be growing your annuals in there and utilize all that sun, keep that sun off of your soil, utilize that sun to still produce a lot of your annual crops. So that way you're stacking the function of perennial and annual production all in the same space.
Yeah, real quick, Bill, thank you very much. Boy, you're knocking it out of the park today. Jeff Lawton did a bunch of videos talking about those systems, and he even did an interview. I'm sure you could find it on the permaculture, I mean, on the Survival podcast, where he was on there with Jeff Lawton talking about these systems. Yeah, Jeff Lawton, G-E-O-F-F Lawton. You're going to want to check him out because, honestly, those systems are absolutely incredible. And they've also been lost to history, even though, I mean, Iran has been in a drought forever and a day now. Yeah, tell me that's an accident. Anyway, these systems are still very much holding up in so many different ways. And then the percentage of food that they produce there, of their own food, you know, if there was something good to happen to them out of all these sanctions or whatever else, well, they've been forced to be pretty darn self-sufficient. Somebody's asking if there was Eduardo is asking if there a documentary. I don't know if there is or not. I know Jeff Lawton. If you find it, please let me know about it. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, there is. There's a podcast that he talks about it. It's the one you sent me, but it's with Eric Sider, it's with Jeff Lawton, it's with another guy, and then Sam Parker, who I was actually at Jeff Lawton's farm whenever Sam Parker Davis was there. He was a raw vegan at the time. Interesting guy. He's a very, very interesting guy. But if you go to my YouTube channel, like the homepage, and you go to posts, it's one of the recent posts where I reposted their interview where they're going through talking about those systems in Iran and Jordan and things like that. So check that out.
All right. So my next one here is going to be that waste should never exist. And I can't emphasize this. You know, there's nothing that irritates me, and I got this from my dad, honestly, because of the way he was. I mean, he didn't care how much you ate, but you better not waste it. And that's kind of the golden rule in my place, too. I know a guy, he's actually one of my best friends. They would sit here, he and his wife, they would sit here and cook maybe 5 ribeyes they got out of a pack. And folks, you would not even believe what I'm about to tell you. They would eat maybe 1 a piece, and then let the rest of them sit out overnight and then feed them to their dogs or throw them away the next day. I mean, they would do this. It was just a horrible waste and I hated it. So that's why I won't keep going down that rabbit trail, but just think about it in these terms. Manure feeds soil. Scraps can feed your animals, especially your omnivores out there. We've talked about it in recent times. Obviously, the animals feed you if you're into that sort of thing, or elements of those animals feed you. They could clothe you. Let's say you got sheep out there. You're making wool out of those things. Maybe you got some socks. Maybe you get a coat out of the deal. If you're Trump, I'm thinking he's expecting a coat of many colors, whatever the case may be. So close every loop. You're bleeding in your resources. I mean that in a big, big way, folks. Chicken tractor on steroids. That's exactly what you're doing. You're taking waste streams and you're making a much better bird, much better eggs, much better, happier animal because it's out there working for its food. Now, there are no steroids in that system, but it is to say that you're taking waste streams or what people think are waste streams because they're really not. And you're repurposing those streams to do something that's very, and then check it out. It's like a self-licking ice cream cone. That's why I'm saying there should be very little, if any, waste on your place. And then just take your time. Think about, okay, is there another way I can repurpose this thing? Now, clearly, there are going to be packages and things like that that probably ought to go in the bin. But if it's something that lived, like William said, you know, the quote from Jeff Lawton, if it lived, it can live again. And you can do it through compost and you can put it through the butt of one of your animals. It doesn't matter. It all has a purpose.
I think Brenda said it the most elegant way. Take all you want, but eat all you take. I don't know if you've heard of that one before, but that's the
No, I didn't know that. I mean, I like that one.
Yeah,
probably that one's be on pretty good. T-shirt somewhere.
Yeah. The next one, I'm going to kind of combine these two because it's both infrastructure that most – I would say 99% of us, of those who live in the United States, have roofs and fences. Now, the roof obviously provides an obvious function, like it covers your house, keeps you protected, keeps you dry, things like that. But those roofs you can use for rainwater catchment. Also, the fences, your infrastructure, those are just trellises waiting for food for the most part if you built your fence well enough to withstand the weight. But if you're in the process of building new fences, maybe beef them up a little bit more with the intent of growing food on those fences, which kind of, here's another function that will actually stack right there. So let's say you have deer, or let's say you have an orchard and a garden within that fence line, right? And you're waiting on dad to make some bone sauce. You just grow some food on that line. This was actually I'll say it. Whenever what's his name is still putting out good content, Justin Rhodes, when he was doing that tour across the America, interviewing all these different farmers, there was one farmer that he interviewed who called it the fedge, the food hedge, where he would take his fence line and he would grow a bunch of raspberries, blackberries, things like that around the edge. Also, nobody's just going to prance through that fence line all easy. Like, they're going to get caught up, they're going to get shredded, things like that. But on the outside of your fence, that's what the deer can eat. That's that 10% you can dedicate to wildlife, or you count as loss towards the wildlife. And then on the inside of the fence is what you harvest. And you can do it with a bunch of different crops. It doesn't have to be blackberries or raspberries, but anything that could utilize a trellis or use a trellis, you can grow on those fence lines. You could do, here's a fun one, maypops. Maypops is where the original, the flavor for Hawaiian punch came from, is maypops. You can grow those along your fence line if you want to as well, especially along your shaded portions of your fence line. If you're in the south, you could do muscadines. If you're a little bit further north, you could do grapes. If you're in rocky, sandy soil, well-draining soil, crappy soil, you could do grapes. You could do blackberries. You could do raspberries. If you have very, very little wind, you could do kiwis if you wanted to. If you're in the tropics, you could do dragon fruit if you wanted to. There's a bunch of different options of what you could grow on that pre-existing trellis. All you have to do is plant it. And annual production, I'm about to go put some cucumbers over on my fence here before too long. Fences and roofs, that's something that most of us have access to. Most of us already have on a property. You might as well stack functions with it and use it for just more than what the intended initial use was, or what the initial use was intended for.
That's what I'm talking about. My last one's going to be turn problems. Man, folks, I could go on and on this topic. Turn your problems into assets. You got too much water? Okay, maybe build a pond there. Too many weeds? Run animals. Every problem is a mismanaged potential. That's really what it is. I mean, you don't have a cricket problem, you got a lack of turkey problem. You don't have a slug problem, you got a lack of duck problem. You see where I'm going with this? It is a big, big deal to be able to turn it. And then I got to say, this is also very, very important. Little side note, but it fits. You have to approach design of your property with a dispassionate eye. I can't even tell you how many times a lady says, well, I want my garden over there, or I want this over there. Well, you know what? It would be better suited over there. And here are the reasons why. You know, I want my orchard over there. Well, it's kind of a depression and it's got a seep in it. Your trees are going to drown. Unless you're putting willows over there, it ain't going to work. But they go, folks, I know people that have made these kinds of mistakes, putting animals in places they don't belong and putting trees, gardens. For example, one person we knew foolishly, I mean, I can't even tell you how, actually how many people, where your garden, you want that in kind of closer proximity. You don't want to be putting that in zone 5. Or all over Texas, everybody says, who's going to pick the fruit? For the life of me, I don't even understand that. Nobody wants a tree close to their houses. I can understand if you're worried about some big cottonwood overhanging your house and you got a tornado coming. Yeah, I get that. But we're talking fruit trees that ain't even going to get as tall as your house in many cases. And they still don't want them near the house, even though it would do extraordinary things. So if you don't, all of this means nothing if you can't approach your property with a dispassionate eye. This is why we tell you to go seek the help of anybody out there who might be able to look at it and say, I don't know, maybe you ought to be doing something different. Remember, everything, there's a solution to every single problem out there. Even though you had your heart set on having a blueberry orchard over there, maybe that just doesn't make sense there. Maybe a pond makes better sense. Maybe a swale. Maybe something else entirely. Maybe your chickens make better sense there. You know, maybe it's just absolutely too shaded. Well, that ain't the place where you're going to want to put blueberries unless you're getting dappled sunshine in, you know, East Texas or something. Folks, I think you get the point there.
So because stacking functions, the only real limitation on stacking functions is your imagination, your ability to connect dots, right? We had, believe it or not, at least on my end, I didn't have any overlap with what Dad said here. So I'm going to quickly run through the rest of the ones that I had listed down here. So silvopasture, combination of food crops where you can either do swales or you can just grow fruit trees in a straight line and run your animals in between the rows of your fruit trees. That's silvopasture. You can either convert old forest into silvopasture or you can build a new forest into silvopasture, whichever way you want to go. I got videos on it. Dad's got videos on it. Have at it. One that Dad actually implements himself, the driveway orchard. Your driveway is pretty obvious in the function that it serves. It gives you access to and from your house. Sometimes it's the only access to and from your house. And if you're in a steep terrain where you have very, very limited access, you might as well plant things that are going to produce heavy crops right along point, like right alongside your access points. So fruit trees on either side of your driveway, whenever apples produce, you're usually harvesting most of them all at the same time. Same thing with pears, same thing with peaches. You could even do the same thing with root crops if you wanted to. Sweet potatoes, you harvest all those at the same time. You might as well plant them alongside your driveway if you're in steep terrain. Or even if you're not, you could be just old and you don't want to go walk with your to go harvest sweet potatoes. You might as well put it right along your driveway. The next one, compost. So compost is something everybody should be doing. I teach and Dad teaches hot composting methods. You can use that compost to passively heat water if you wanted to for your household. The next one is greenhouse attached to the house. This is going to actually do more than what you might initially be thinking it's going to do. If you design it right, it could obviously grow food in that greenhouse attached to your house, zone 0 food production. That's awesome. It's going to heat up your house in the winter. And if you have tubes coming out or some sort of a way to pull air into your house through tubes that are underground, you can use that greenhouse using convection to actually cool your house. It seems counterintuitive at first, but once you understand convection, you realize that, oh, the greenhouse, if I put a hole at the top of that greenhouse, the hot air is going to rise and escape. It's going to create a vacuum within the house, and it's going to pull air through those cooling tubes through the back of the house. It's going to cool once it's in contact with those tubes under the earth, and then once it enters your house, you're going to get anywhere between 60 to 50 degree weather or temperature. Cooling your house goes out to the greenhouse and then up through that as it heats up. And then the last one I have is using gray water to grow your food, right? You don't need, like, gray water is different than black water. I'm not suggesting you use black water, which is like basically poop water. Don't use that to grow your food. And if you are, make sure it has a very, very long filter in the form of a trunk. So make sure you're only using trees to grow that food. But gray water, especially if you're using cleaning products, like it's biodegradable cleaning products that doesn't have a bunch of heavy metals or garbage or anything like that in it. You can use your gray water. So the stuff from, I would, in my household, count the shower as gray water. I would also count anything that I pee in as gray water. I would count like the kitchen sink in our house. I would count that as gray water. The bathroom sinks as gray water, things like that. All those things can be used to water your gardens, depending on, again, what you use in your house and then how much of it you're getting and the nutrient load of that. Like how many people are using those water systems in your house and how many beds are you breaking that up into? There are some calculations to keep in mind. But if you don't feel like doing those calculations, do what all of Australia does for the most part in rural areas and make sure that gray water hits a reed bed first, cleans up, and then you use the water on the downhill side of that reed bed to water your food products down that way. And yeah, that was the rest of my list. Hopefully this helped you guys out.
Yeah, great job, son. Somebody mentioned a moment ago, yeah, it was Hoosier Pioneer. Exhaust fumes alongside my driveway, it's negligible. It's almost non-existent compared to, I mean, it's really not even something you would need to consider.
Especially compared to the rain.
The exhaust fumes coming out of that sky right now are really the ones we got to be worried about. So, folks, in a nutshell, what we just described here in this podcast, the goal is independence ultimately, not just production. When everything stacks, you rely less on outside inputs in the first place. That's the whole point. That's the whole game here, y'all. That's exactly why I love things that have multifunctions out there in so many different ways. Like the, I did a video where I'm talking about the copper trowel that Ben Holler made me. You know what? I don't just look at that as a digging instrument out there. It's also putting little tiny microscopic copper pieces into that soil every time I use it. Also, it's a measuring device. I can use that if I'm worried about my measurement. There are certain marks that I know that, let's say, are 4 inches, or maybe it's 8 inches, or it's 12. I can use that thing as a measuring device in between from one seed to the next, if that's depending on what I'm planting. Or you can break it down in so many different ways. The only problem here is your imagination and mine, too. I mean, this is why I'm always thinking, this is why I love a show like this, where I'm talking about so many different, this is why I loved Alton Brown when he still had a show on Food Network. Back when Food Network actually taught people real things. Now, I guess, I mean, I don't watch TV, but last time I did, it was in a hotel room. And all it is are like game shows, reality shows or something like that. There was a time when they actually taught you stuff on there. And that was why I loved Alton Brown so much, because in his show Good Eats, which I'm sure you can still see it in some way or another, he would always use things that had multiple uses. That's what I loved about that show so much, where you can use it for this, use it for that. Oh, this is just a colander in your kitchen, but hey, it's working like this in mine. It's working as a steamer basket in my kitchen. Things like that. Or, you know, there was another time he used like some aluminum foil and made like a steamer basket out of it and made some tamales out of it. I mean, obviously you want to stay away from aluminum, but I think you get the point. Remember, the goal is independence, not just production. All right, y'all, this has been a banger of a show. I think a lot of good information, especially for the times that we live in, y'all. Look, no need to be fearful. You know, things are crazy. Things are going really, really weird and sideways in this world. We got King Lear as our president right now, or Theoden, pick your one. I don't know, but either way, until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
Wisdom from Solomon. Let the ideas unfold. I'm grooving with the truth, truth, truth. Feeling anxious, truth, truth, truth. We got the answers all we need to do. Listen to the earth, they got us through. Let the seeds of shame watch the world spin. From the smallest sprout to harmony begin in the cycle of life, where the magic's alive.